Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for our country that you've given us. God, please help save our country. We need it. God, please. But Father, when I make that prayer, I realize that it's going to be my responsibility to help. It's going to be all of us, one person at a time, doing our parts. And today is a start. As our pastor comes and preaches from thy word, by us hearing and heeding to what he preaches will help our country. So God, please work in our hearts enough that we'll obey thy word this morning. And then Father, if there's somebody in this room that does not know for sure that they're going to heaven, they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray today before they leave, they do so. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me give you the warning. Turn me up just a little bit, Brother Kellogg, would you? Let me give you the warning concerning cell phones. Now listen. You need to make sure it's turned off or to vibrate, especially today. And here's why. If it goes off during the service and we hear it, you will immediately get lockjaw. And it will last today and tomorrow. And while everybody else is eating barbecued meat of some kind, and potato salad, and coleslaw, and ruby red sweet watermelon, and homemade ice cream with all kinds of stuff put on top of that, you won't be able to eat a thing because you'll have lockjaw. So help me there, please, would you? And so make sure it's turned off. Last week I told you if you went off, you'd die of heat prostration. It went off during the service, and that lady died. So be careful and help us today, would you please, very much. So we come to the message this morning on this 4th of July. If you're a clock watching Baptist, church is now over. It's noon and it's time to go home. But we're not letting you go. So there you go, bud. Because I want to talk to you this morning about the responsibility of Christian citizens. The responsibility of Christian citizens. If you're even a casual student of the history of America, you realize and understand that in light of the fact that it was just a handful of people who stood against an unjust empire that birthed this nation. And if you realize that from the history of America's start until today, the strength of America is the quality of its citizens. It's just like a church. A church is no better than the quality of the people who attend that church. And so it is with your home. Your family is no better or worse than the people who live under the roof and how they conduct themselves. When it comes to a nation, America, the quality of its citizens determines the quality of its country. We are supposed to be a nation, a republic, which we still are, by the way, that is supposed to elect people from our own citizenry. Now we have one with questionable citizenship, but citizenry in our nation, we're supposed to elect people from our people to head up our government. It's a great idea. It's a brilliant idea. So the people put the people in office who are supposed to run our nation. And so we're supposed to elect people from our citizenry. So consequently, if you don't like who's elected, it's America's fault because we raise those people up if they're American citizens. We raise those people up in this nation. Think about it for a moment. So you understand the leadership of a nation, the quality of that nation, the moral fiber of that nation, the backbone of that nation, are the citizens of that nation. Now, we get done waving the flag and singing God Bless America and everything else. I want to bring it right down to where you and I are today, and this is the subject of the responsibility of a Christian citizen in this nation. Now, we read some very familiar passage this morning, Matthew chapter 5 in verses 13 to 16, and there Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth. There Jesus says that we are the light of the world. There Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And from those simple verses, frankly, we can draw a very clear conclusion and very clear direction of what a Christian citizen ought to be in their nation and what our responsibilities are. Now look at me this morning. Very simply this. Number one, the responsibility of a Christian citizen begins with the responsibility of one person. Brother Evans almost preached my message, the first point of the message, in his prayer this morning, but it was directed by God, I believe, because I want you to understand something this morning. We're a nation of over 300 million people. But do you understand that as a Christian citizen, your responsibility as a member of this nation starts with you as one person? Ah, but Pastor Johnson, I mean, what good can one person do? Let me ask you a question. What effect can one person have on America? If you take the history of our nation and you list the names of people who affected this nation's direction and course and its conduct and its behavior, you could start listing names, but you wouldn't list groups, you'd list individuals. Do you understand this morning, friend, that the responsibility of a Christian nation is that you are the salt of the earth, that you are the light of the world, that you are supposed to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven? It's a personal responsibility as a citizen. What we do today is we get lost in the numbers of it all. And we think, boy, 300 some odd million people in America and 30 some plus million people in the state of California and 90 plus thousand in the city of Redding, California and over a quarter of a million people in Shasta County. And we think to ourselves, I mean, what difference does one person really make? The truth of the matter is the moral fiber of our cities, our nation, our counties, our state, our nation, yea, our world is affected one person at a time. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus was talking to individuals as well as collectively talking to people when he was reminding them of their responsibilities as Christians. Now that means this morning. Now look at me. How you live your life, you, how you live your life, what you do or do not do, how you conduct yourself, how you live the life God has given you, how you conduct yourself as a child of God, as a citizen, as a member of your family, as a member of this church, what you do makes a difference. If we didn't believe that this morning, if we didn't think that every individual was important in this matter, then quite frankly, we would just try to do what a lot of churches are doing today and just try to get a bunch of people to show up in a building so we got a full parking lot, and we have a full parking lot, so we have a full parking lot and a full building and just get a bunch of people to show up and make it a show like a soccer match or a football game or a basketball game or something like that. But that's not the reason we're here today. We're here today to bring God's message to you as an individual to help you understand you have a part in what you're supposed to be doing for God today. Personal, individual responsibility. Now, what we're doing today in our society, I'm afraid, is everyone is excusing themselves. I had a bad childhood. My parents were not didn't raise me correctly. I'm codependent. I'm this, I'm that. I didn't have this, I didn't have that. I wasn't one of these, I wasn't one of those. I'm the wrong color, I'm the wrong size, I'm the wrong shape. I was born in the wrong part of town. I live on the wrong side of the tracks. I didn't get this. I didn't get a bicycle when I was a child. I didn't get the right color tennis shoes. I don't have a Wii. I don't have an iPod. I don't have an iPhone. I don't have this. I don't have that. I didn't get this. I didn't get that. I'm not one of those. I'm not one of these. It isn't my fault because this is the way it is. And everyone today, too many people today, are excusing themselves from personal responsibility. That's why Christians don't think there's a problem with living together before you get married. It's still adultery. That's why Christians don't seem to have a problem with cheating, lying, being dishonest, living immoral lives, doing things they're not supposed to do. We think, well, what difference does it make? No, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Well, if I don't do it, somebody else will. Thank you for checking it out and checking out on your responsibilities and throwing the buck to everybody else that is doing what they're supposed to do. But also, listen now. I want you to understand something today. When you do what you're supposed to do, when you honor what you've been taught that's right, when you realize America is not here for me, I am here for America. When I realize, when you do what you should, look here, you pay your bills, you go to work, you do the honest and the right and the decent thing as best as you know how in your life, my friend, you are doing your part for this country. So we may not be able to change what's happening today. And I think it's very interesting what's happening in the political process. I'm not a political junkie by any means, but I think it's very interesting to see what's taking place today. If I was an incumbent elected official anywhere in the United States of America, I'd be taking sleeping pills to get to sleep at night, because I think we're about to whack a whole stack of them and try and see what we can do with people who have sense. Now, where we're going to get those, I have no idea. But anyway, it's a good concept. And that goes either side of the aisle. But I think it's very interesting that there's this dissatisfaction among people about, and by the way, America still has the ability and has the opportunity to change this nation for better and for good. And it's going to be done one vote at a time when it comes time to election. But you don't have to go to a poll to vote for America. No, you don't have to do that. All you have to do is sit down in front of your television set and turn on Desperate Housewives, and all you're doing is saying, I believe what the rest of this country believes about filth, like that. It's not that movies like Twilight make $70 million in 2 days. It's that Christians go sit there and watch that kind of stuff. Yeah, they went over like a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. But let me tell you something, friend. There's something wrong with you. You understand that? There's something wrong with you if you want to go see a bunch of vampire blood-sucking people, and what is wrong with us? You look at me. Well, it's so popular, Pastor Johnson. There's a lot of things that are popular. See, it's already messed up your voice. You got problems. You got serious issues. It's that I support that stuff, that I get involved in that, that I'm sitting there watching junk on television, that you're looking at things on the internet you're not supposed to look at. It is your responsibility. Listen, if there's millions of people who do something they shouldn't do, then there should be one less because I don't participate. You got Christians in this room this morning. You'd rather go over to the Civic Center and make sure you get your spot next to a bunch of beer-drinking, God-cussing heathens so you can watch fireworks rather than go to church tonight. That went over like a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. Just so I can sit there and go, ooh. Ooh, ooh. Don't you realize how much cooler and nicer it would be sitting in front of your 92,000 square inch television, HD, high resolution television set, eating watermelon and watching the fireworks on TV, and you don't have to fight the traffic. And church will be over by 7:15, and the fireworks don't start till 10 o'clock. I told you I'd get that in one more time before it was over. I know what I'm doing. No. America's not going to go to hell because you sit there and watch fireworks instead of going to church. But do you understand you're one more person doing what you shouldn't be instead of one more person doing what you should be? Don't you understand when you get up and go to work tomorrow and you give them, and if you have to work tomorrow, you get up and go to work tomorrow, you give them 8 hours work for 8 hours pay. Do you understand you just helped your country? Do you see it? Well, that's something I do every day. Then every day, friends, you're doing something for America. You're honoring the Bible. You're doing what's right. You're doing the honest and the decent thing. It's a responsibility of one. Yeah, but nobody else I know does that. Then, first of all, you got the wrong crowd. You need to get away from that crowd, pal. Really, you do. The truth is, if nobody around you wants to do the right thing, guess what? You are in the wrong circle of people. There are some folks out there who do want to do the right thing. I must realize my part in America and how I live my life and my conduct is either a help or I'm hurting my nation. Never mind the wagging our heads at all the junk that goes on in the world today. Why don't we turn around and do this instead of pointing the finger like this? Point it this way and say, am I a part of that? Do I participate in this? Is how they're living their lives, is that affecting me? And am I allowing it to do so? Am I a part of what's right with America or what's wrong? Too many today believe that selfishness and self-satisfaction and self-gratification is what's so important, because that's all Bible doesn't it say life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Yeah, that's right. We're supposed to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but not personal gratification. Boy, I enjoyed this morning, crack of dawn, putting my flag out. And standing there for a moment and thinking about my nation, America. Looking at the house where we live and the home that we have and thinking to myself, you know what? I'm still in the pursuit of happiness, but it's such a blessing to live in this country. But you know, yesterday I got to lead someone to Christ. I tithed this morning. I got up knowing I was going to church today. Tomorrow I'll spend some time with my family and I'll enjoy the family time that we have together. And we'll do it without regrets or sorrow. Not going down to the liquor store and buy a bunch of booze and go get drunk like a fool. I said like a fool. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, the Bible said. Like a fool. The first of the month, it's time to pay bills. And I'm glad to pay my bills. I'm thankful to be able to do that. You see, it's a responsibility of one. Listen now, you do make a difference. Is it for good or not? The responsibility of a Christian citizen is also the responsibility of salt. Verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. Now look at the statement in these verses, very powerful. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Salt has always been used in so many different ways. It's always been used as a preservative to prevent corruption and decay. Now look, you're supposed to be salt. I am supposed to be salt. That means in my life, where I live my life, how I live my life, should be preventing corruption and decay around me. You see, we have got to get this principle right and the picture right. It's easy to blame those who reject the Bible and deny God and the wickedness of their lives. It's easier to point a finger at them than to say Mike Johnson is not salty enough in the way he lives his life. Well, you're not supposed to shove what you believe down people's throats. You know, that's absolutely right. You're completely correct. But I would rather see somebody try that than be one of these secret Christians. Somebody pushed us in the closet, and I don't even like the concept. Now the Christian's in the closet. Everybody else has come out, and Christians have gone in, closed the door, and nobody wants to hear of us, about us, or from us. Interesting. But the Bible says you're the salt of the earth, and this saltiness is supposed to preserve corruption and decay that is around us. Are we doing our job? By being a part of the cure and not a part of the problem. Salt is also not only a preservative. Oh, by the way, look at verse number 13. If you're not what you should be as salt, the Bible says, it says in verse 13, you thenceforth you're good for nothing. You're just white, you're white powder is all you are. There's no point in salt without its saltiness. It's of no effect. And you know who says you're good for nothing? God did. Jesus said, you're thenceforth good for nothing. Man, I don't want to be a good for nothing Christian. Good for nothing. Yeah, well, I'm doing okay for myself. No, good for nothing. That means unusable. Salt without saltiness is of no use. And it says this, look, and it cast out and trodden under foot of men. That means they walk on you and your Christianity. So isn't it interesting to you that now the laws of our land are turned toward the child of God, and they're beginning to restrict our freedoms and liberties, not just as citizens, but as Christians. Try and stand up in a public place. I get invitations from the city council here and the board of supervisors to come and pray at the city council board of supervisors here in Reading. But they send me a sheet telling me what I can and can't say when I pray. Can't I call in the name of Jesus? Can't say that, can't do that, can't do this. Has to be a generic type prayer of some type. Oh, thou, whoever you are up there, whenever you are, for whatever you do, whoever it may be. Oh, now we got really smart city council members. They want Buddhists and Hindus and all the rest of these folks to come in. How about atheists, pagans, Satan worshipers? Come up there and, you know, sling a little water on people and throw some beads around. Hey, that'd be really good. That's very pluralistic, isn't it? That's about dumb as a rock, pal. You got the brains of a fire hydrant. Say, so do you go there and pray? Not if they're going to tell me how I can pray. Can't do that. I'll be glad. I do. I pray for my city council. I do. I pray for my president. I pray for my governor. California. I pray for all these people. But they're not going to tell me how to pray. Excuse me. They're not going to do it. So if I can go and pray as I choose and as God directs me to, I'll be glad to pray for these folks and pray with them. But no. But see, we're getting walked on. Say, yeah, what's up with those heathens? No, what's up with your saltiness? They're walking on your Christianity. You understand? Like some of you sitting there now, you're laughing at what I'm telling you. You think you're walking on me now. Get this, friend. The preservative of salt is supposed to do its job and preserve from decay and corruption, not be a result of decay and corruption. Not only is it a preservative, but it's an enhancer. Come on. Eat French fries without salt on them. Might as well eat your shoelaces. Well, the salt is not good for you, Pastor Johnson. Then fine, you eat French fries without salt on them. I'm eating salt on my French fries because it enhances the flavor. Now, I know those people, you know, they eat. As soon as they sit down, they don't even taste the food. They just start putting salt on it. Now, that's stupid. You should taste it first. That's an insult to the cook. But the truth is, people say, well, you know, salt is not good for you. No, salt is very good for you. Too much salt is not good for you. Now, tomorrow, if you're having barbecue and stuff like that, eat everything with no salt. See how it tastes. Your taste buds just check out and quit. Because it enhances flavor. Now look, that means if I'm the salt of the earth, I should be enhancing for the good what's going on around me. Well, if I'm a preservative, Pastor Johnson, prevent decay and corruption, people aren't going to like that. I didn't say they'll love you for it. I said they'll realize that you're making a difference where you are. And if some have compassion making a difference. You don't have to be different today. It's hard to be different in this society. Some things you have to do to be different in society today. No, thank you very much. But whose life are you improving, touching for God and for good? Salt is an enhancer. And lastly, salt's an irritant. It's an irritant. I'm irritating some of you this morning. Irritant. That just means I'm doing my job. I got to irritate somebody on a Sunday or I'm just not doing my job. It has to work that way. Somebody's got to shake their head and do like that before the service is over, or I'm not doing my job. Because salt's an irritant. Now, we don't try to be irritating, but I'm sorry. You get a little salt on the end of your finger and rub the corner of your eye by accident. You didn't mean to do it, but it still irritates. You get salt in an open wound, it's irritating. You pour it on a slug, it really irritates that slug. But anyway, the point is, don't do that now. Peter will get all over me about this, but don't do that. It is kind of funny. But the truth is, salt's irritating. I'm sorry, look at me. I don't want to be pleasant and acceptable in a society that's shaking its fist in God's face. I want them to think there's something wrong with me. When the world's wrong, they better think something's wrong with you. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This world of Christianity that's seeking the world's approval over God's is not doing its job. Somebody should be irritated with you just because you try to do the right thing. It's the responsibility of one, the responsibility of salt. The Christian's responsibility is the responsibility of light, verse 14 to 16, especially that verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, light dispels darkness. A Christian citizen should be, by their life and their conduct, pushing back the darkness of sin and Satan around them. You think the world's crazy now? Wait till God comes and catches us up off this earth. and all the Christians are taken up at one time at the great rapture of the church. When the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise, and we which are alive and remain are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. No wonder that begins a 7-year period of great tribulation, where there's all sorts of things poured out on this earth. No wonder that happens, because there is no light on this earth of the child of God to help to dispel darkness. Should be pushing it back, friend. That's right, Pastor Johnson. Boy, I'll tell you what, we need to get in the Tea Party, and we need to go to Washington, and we need a petition, and we need to do all those sort of things. Join the Tea Party if you want to. Go ahead and petition Washington. I do it on occasion myself. But the truth of the matter is, that will not dispel darkness. That just simply, I sent a petition to the senators in the state, our U.S. senators in our state here, Frankenstein and the other one. I sent them a petition about, complain about a couple of things. Got a letter back from them. Very nice. Telling me why I was an idiot for why I believe what I believe. Now, they didn't call me an idiot. They used nicer political terms. You think you're going to change Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein? Seriously? Or Arnold Schwarzenegger? You think you're really going to change those people's mind? Now, the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it with us every will. But frankly, I think you ought to voice your opinion, and you ought to voice your right as a citizen, but that's not going to dispel darkness. You know what dispels darkness? The fact that yesterday I went home to my wife, that yesterday I went to bed sober, that yesterday I did my part for my nation and my country and my church and the cause of Christ. And that yesterday, for Mike Johnson, I just tried to do my best to honor God and His Word. And guess what I did? Push the darkness back a little bit here. You understand? You are the light of the world. It dispels darkness. You are the light of the world. It illuminates that which is around you. Christians, your life should shed light on the fact that things are messed up in this world. You don't have to say even much anymore. Just they saw you with the Bible in your hand. I hope you had one. And you got in your car and you drove to church this morning. I hope they did. I hope your neighbors saw that. I drive by mine and wave at them, except for the Jameses. They're my neighbors. They're usually ahead of me, and then they're not for too long. And I get passing. But I see my neighbors out there. Got a new neighbor next door to me yesterday. I walked over and he was sitting there in the curb smoking a cigarette, reading a book. It wasn't a Bible, just reading a book. And I've been trying to see him. I went over and talked to this guy. Turned out he's not my neighbor. He's a relative of a neighbor. And we stood there and talked for a few minutes. And I just pushed the darkness back a little bit more by just trying to help this person, encourage him, and give the gospel. You are the light of the world, friend. Do you understand? Christian, witness for Jesus Christ. Give the gospel to people. Give them a tract. Tell them about the Lord. Be a witness for the Lord. Push back the darkness and illuminate the truth. Led a lady to Christ yesterday, was a professing Christian. Said she'd got saved when she was a kid. Talked to her about her testimony. She didn't have a testimony. And she said, it's bothered me for a while. And I talked to her about her salvation, and she trusted Christ as her Savior. And she saw the truth. Got my car washed yesterday at a car wash here in town. It's a teenage boy there we've been talking to and witnessing to for some time. A couple weeks ago, got to lead him to Christ. Saw him yesterday. He said, I'm coming to church as soon as they change my work schedule. Just brought the light of the truth. You understand, friend? That you say, but that's one person. That's two people. Yeah, but if that's two, and then we got 100 some odd, 200 some odd people here, and that's two, and you do two, that's 400. Next thing, you understand? Hey, you're the light of the world. Or have you put a shade over your light of testimony? And nobody really knows what kind of Christian you are. I'm sick and tired of this worldly stuff, where people go do what the world does, act like the world does, look like the world, talk like the world, be everything the world is, and then say, but I'm a Christian. That Miley Cyrus kind of Christianity. Where you look like a heathen, act like a whore, and declare yourself to be a child of God. Excuse me, no thank you very much. See, that's judgmental, Pastor Johnson. You're absolutely right. But it's calling it straight. The light is supposed to illuminate the truth, not me, Jesus, people's need of Christ and salvation. I worked in a lunch meeting in South Chicago when I was in Bible college. One more time, don't eat packaged lunch meat. I used to make it, don't eat packaged lunch meat. Buy it at the deli where you see them slice it off the hog or the chicken or whatever it is, but don't buy that stuff in the packages. When it says all beef, brother, everything but the moo's in that package. Trust me now, it's all in there. All pork, all hog, it is. Everything but the oink's in that package, and sometimes the oink comes out. Don't eat package lunch meat. And I worked in this lunch meat factory in South Chicago. It wasn't too long when I was there. And I didn't go in there with one of them big Catholic hippie Bibles with the hippie Jesus on it, walk to work, beat people over the head with it, and tackle them in the hallways. And, you know, I didn't do that. I just went to work, did my job, tried to witness when I could. It wasn't too long before the people in that factory would come and say, "Preacher, I need to talk to you about something." They called me preacher. I started pastoring. My first church, I pastored a lunch meat factory in South Chicago. Never got an offering out of nobody. That was terrible. Wasn't a very good pastor. I should have passed the hat. I'd have probably got lunch meat. But anyway, I'd have people come there and ask me to go see their family members in the hospital. Got to lead a lot of those folks to Christ. Stand out there on a lunch break, not the boss's nickel, on a lunch break. Help them with things in their lives. I tried to make it this. You're bragging on yourself. No, I'm not. I'm trying to tell you this. If we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, we make a difference where we are. And that's the responsibility of a good Christian citizen. People shouldn't have to try to find out what you are. They should be able to figure out what you are by how you live and what you say and what you do and what you don't do with your life. God bless America. God bless America. Now, Christian, why don't you be a blessing to America too? Let's stand to our feet, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.